Welcome back. Thanks for hanging in here with us. We are talking with Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy of Project Camelot. Carrie, you were talking about channeling, and you mentioned a fellow whose name that I didn't hear. And so I'm just going to let you take off right there.
Okay. Actually, it was a woman. Her name is Laura Knight Jetsick.
Oh, yes. I am familiar with her.
And she channeled the Cassiopeians.
Yes.
And also used something of a scientific method to sort of safeguard the information that she's channeled, and is very careful in the way she puts it forward, and I respect that. I think that channeling is a very difficult area to evaluate, but one of the things that we as humans have to start to do, and this actually gets back to the Wingmakers, is that they need to, or we need to, start to realize that we have within our bodies and within our consciousness an area, you can call it the heart, you can call it the intelligent heart. It is basically a system to analyze and to realize what is true. And what is true resonates within.
That's correct.
And most people have lost that technique or that skill, or it's been dumbed down and or they've forgotten they ever had it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is part of our human nature. It's part of what's built into our system, if you will. And therefore, all what I can suggest, because channeling simply can't be checked on, as you know, unless you see some verification in the quote-unquote real world, because, again, we're in a multidimensional world that most people only accept one view of reality. So if you only see evidence there, most people want to see it, taste it, smell it, and hold it in their hand, so to speak, in a 3D sort of way. And I have to say, in terms of channeling, it's simply not possible to do that. So you have to go to another place in order to evaluate that information. And that again gets back to the kernel of what some of these people are coming up with. And I think it has to do with the survival of humanity. And we recently interviewed Jordan Maxwell, who is a very well-known and respected researcher. He's been in this field for 40 years, and I'm sure you're familiar with him.
Oh, absolutely.
And one thing he has done in our interview, and I encourage everyone to watch that interview, is come forward with some information that he's kind of been holding back for quite some time. And it involves the return of the Anunnaki, and
mm-hmm.
the fact that the Anunnaki are still here, and that behind the controllers, what we call the Illuminati, is a faction of the Anunnaki which are negatively based. In other words, they are service to self. And they have an agenda. They are rolling that agenda out, and it's part of our mission in Project Camelot to reveal exactly what that agenda is, and also to alert people on its rollout, and when it is, because they use disinfo and they cloak it in a myriad of ways. And it's very important to start to read between the lines in the news you hear and in certain events that go on, because there's huge amounts of misdirects going on top of it. But to get back to Jordan Maxwell, this is the kind of information that is absolutely crucial. And I have to say that Zachariah Sitchin's material is not necessarily all correct, but there is some substantial clues in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also in touch with Michael Tellinger. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
No, it's a name that's new to me.
Okay, he's a fascinating man, and he is, in a certain sense, continuing the investigation that Sitchin set out on. And he is investigating, he's right now down in Africa, investigating through archaeology, doing actual archaeological digs to recover sources and information about the Anunnaki, the so-called gods who came to Earth, who were responsible for, in essence, the genetic engineering that resulted in humanity. And he's written several books, and I'm trying to remember the name of one of his, but he has a website. He has actually a couple of websites. And we did do on our website, if you go to our audio interviews, I believe we did a radio show with Michael Tellinger. And we hope to do another update soon. But he is on the track of the history, at least, of the Anunnaki. And all of these threads are so important. We did an interview with Klaus Dana, who we went to Vienna to interview him. He's again investigating the archaeological evidence of giants that were here on the earth. And of course other trails of evidence as well. And we'll be releasing that sometime in the next month or so. It's a fascinating subject, and it does relate to channeled information. There's a huge amount of information that channelers have access to, and it's necessary to weed out, the wheat from the chaff, so to speak, in that area.
Well, when I began channeling way back in the 70s, I had just finished school as a psychologist and immediately committed myself to a psychiatrist because I felt I was having, schizophrenic breakdowns. And just imagine, now at that time I was married to the Dean of Science and Engineering at the Naval Postgraduate School. He was a nuclear physicist who worked on many major projects. But what I didn't know at the time was that all of our psychiatrists, doctors, dentists, everyone, were government cleared people. Well, this psychiatrist tells me, you're not going crazy. You're not hearing voices. You are opening up spiritually. Now, in the late 70s, did either of you know of any psychiatrists, not psychologists, but psychiatrists that would dare tell a patient like this, especially the wife of the Dean of Science and Engineering, would they tell her this? Would they send her off to be taught how to channel? And that's what happened to me.
That's amazing. I have to say that we should interview you. You're obviously a fount of information and knowledge, and that's a serious statement. I would love to interview you. Actually, I had thought of it quite some time ago when I stumbled on Rumor Mill News, and I realized that you seem to have an inside track on quite a few things.
That's
an open invitation.
Yeah, I'll be in your area in February. I'm going to be doing the Conscious Life Expo.
Wonderful. I don't know if we'll be here because we have been invited to speak in Europe on and off during the month of February. But if I am here and you are here, that would be absolutely fabulous. And if nothing else, we should do, either a radio or an audio interview with you.
Well, a radio would be cool. But, I live in one of the most beautiful parts of the world. I'm on the Monterey Peninsula. And, it would just be a vacation for both of you to come here.
Oh, Fab, you mean you're in Northern California?
Yeah, I'm right on Monterey Bay. I'm about 5 minutes.
Well, that's fabulous. I grew up there.
Oh, did you? Where'd you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Cupertino and the Saratoga area. And
oh, my God, that's a hop, skip, and a jump from me.
Exactly, and I was, going to Santa Cruz and that Monterey area all my life. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Then you know all my hangout spots. Yeah. But one of the things I wanted to tell you about my channeling, though, is I literally channeled a book, The Obregon Chronicles, which I finally published. But in 1992... Gunter had let it slip that all of that channeled information that I was bringing through that I thought was coming from, the great masters. Well, no, it was coming from Navy intelligence. And so I said, no more. I don't want any of this. I will never meet with you people again. And I had met with them for over 10 years at 8:30 in the morning. No matter where I was, no matter what I was doing, I would meet with them at 8:30 for an hour. Then I got to Vienna, and one of the Templars that Gunter had assigned to be my teacher, to clue me into what's really going on in the world, one of the throwaway lines that he said, And of course, nobody knew about the Obregon Chronicles at that time. That's about the race from Sirius who came to Earth, you know, to make Earth ready for the Sirian group that is going to be coming later. But nobody heard about it except maybe 20 people, close friends that I'd let read it. And they thought it was so weird that they couldn't even, you know, begin to fathom it. I've sold thousands of the books, maybe tens of thousands by now. You know, with no big major publisher and no advertising or anything, I think that's a pretty good track record. But anyway, this Templar over there, in a throwaway comment, he said, "Oh, by the way, those stories from Obregon, that's part of the stuff we brought back from under King Solomon's temple. It took us centuries to learn how to translate those discs, though." So anyway, when the Templars were in the Holy Lands excavating whatever it was they were excavating, because people have told me that there never was a King Solomon's temple, well, they excavated some hermetically sealed library, and they took it all back to the salt mines of Salzburg, and a disc. That's the only way that he described it, a disc. I have no idea what it was, but that was what carried the stories of Obregon, and there are still more of those stories. And
wow, that is fascinating. Well, I mean, there you go. I actually didn't remember that you channeled, and so certainly you're an expert in this area.
Well, I'm not really, because what I'm an expert in is government channeling, because that was what I was, that's what they did to me. Now, I don't know whether I actually, what I was told in the very beginning, that they were going to teach me how to let go of my conscious mind so that I could reach up to the planes where the masters could contact me. And I think the only planes I ever reached up to were, you know, the spacecraft that's flying around. I'm not sure I ever was able to contact any of the great masters, even though Metatron and Melchizedek did sign a number of things that they sent to me. And my own archbishop who ordained me, after I came out of the ordination, the first thing he said is, "For some reason, they told me you are now in the ashram of the Master Melchizedek." And I've been trying to figure out what that meant, you know, for over 20 years now. So, just another one of my little things.
Wow. Okay. Well, Will, we would definitely have to go down this road, and I'd love to read your book as well. It's very exciting to, you know, hear about this. I'd love to get more deeper into that. We have lost Bill. His battery, apparently on the phone that he was on, is dead. He can be called back on Skype if they're willing to give him another try at Bill Ryan on Skype. I don't know if they're able to do that, but if they're interested in trying to bring him back on, they should try him again on Skype.
Okay, and I will tell them that his battery... Oh, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, wonderful.
It looks like Joe managed to fix something, and so I'm now talking on Skype. So, Joe, thank you very much, and well done.
Oh, my God. Joe is a genius. I mean, literally, I think he's self-taught in building a radio station, but not only has he built his own, he's helped others build their radio stations. And, you know, I got this piece of gossip somewhere that you've been invited to have a radio show on the Micro Effect.
Yes, that's actually true.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, we truly are the fastest growing network around. I mean, if you look at the people that we've got on our show, the names are known. You know these people. You look at the names that are on some of the other shows, and you maybe know one or two of the people, but you don't know all of them. You know, we've got a few new ones now. That I'm fairly sure will be quite well known in a little while. But I truly believe that we are the fastest growing. We're picking up lots of new radio stations, and Joe is the one that pioneered micro FM radio stations. they are blanketed all across the country. And so rural America is who you'd be reaching. I mean, now think about that. Rural America, the people out in the sticks. Isn't that exciting?
Yes, it is. And I'm very happy that that Joe has stuck with us. He's been offering us a radio show for quite some time. Actually, he'll be happy to hear that I'm about to take him up on that offer.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. I wonder what hour he'll give you. The best hour would be the one following my radio show. That seems what everybody wants. You know, we don't have any really terrific things going on Saturday. That might be a possibility, too. But anyway, let's get back to Bill Deagle, because he was talking about some earth changes. And, we've been hearing earth changes ever since Michael Scalia. Oh, no, wait a minute. Let's go back to Edgar Cayce, was the first to talk about earth changes. What do you think is the best information that you've been told on, you know, what land masses are going up, what are going down, you know, where do we move to be safe? Ah, hey, guess what? I hear the music. So I'll let you think about that. And we are going to a short break. You're listening to Radio RNN. I'm talking with Bill Ryan and Terry Cassidy of Project Camelot. And we will be right back.
They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, naturally. And the world heareth them because it recognizes its own language. But we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us.
These are the words of 20th century prophet A.W. Tozer. He is the author of over 40 books that you aren't likely to find at your local Christian bookseller. So where can you go to find such inspiration? Introducing Cornerstone Books, with the largest selection available of the writings of A.W. Tozer, Amy Carmichael, Richard Wurmbrand, and countless others. Cornerstone Books makes the truth available worldwide with the detail and personality of a local bookseller. Visit the website at www.cornerstone-unlimited.com for a complete inventory of its authors, as well as audio files and much, much more. That's www.cornerstone-unlimited.com, or you can call toll free at 888-239-9890. That's 888-239-9890.
You know, considering how rapidly the world is cascading toward gun control, we are rapidly approaching the time when the only way you're going to acquire and maintain possession of a firearm is if you build the darn thing yourself. Unfortunately, you can build them yourself. High-quality, dependable kits are available today. Fully legal, no serial numbers, no bureaucratic government 4473 forms to fill out, no background checks, none of that bureaucratic stuff. Just a kit full of parts and a little information. And what you make out of it, well, that's your business. And it's a good time to look at this because you can save a lot of money. Right now, KT Ordnance is offering a deal to all Micro Effect listeners. You buy one and you get one free, and you get free shipping on orders over $500. So how can you beat that? You go to ktordnance.com. KTORDNANCE.com. Your kids will get a bang out of this. KTordnance.com. The Micro Effect.
Hello, I'm Tom Hanks. The U.S. government has lost its credibility, so it's borrowing some of mine.
Stay tuned to the Micro Effect Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back. This is Raylan. You're listening to Radio RMN. We've got Bill Ryan and Terry Cassidy of Project Camelot on the line with us. And Terry, you were just about to go into a thought. And did you hold on to it? Because I forgot to write it down.
Oh, okay. Actually, I was wanted to give Bill a chance because he's actually been off the air some of this program. You were talking about earth changes, and I thought that, you know, both of us know most of our information, obviously. So if Bill wanted to step forward and talk about what we've heard from Bill Deagle about the earth changes just recently, which was some interesting scientific information that actually I'd never heard before. Bill, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. The whole subject of earth changes, let me try and put it into a nutshell, if we can. There's a lot of evidence that we're talking about cyclical events that occur something like every 11,500 years. There's a lot of evidence, as many of your listeners will know, that Atlantis was a reality, that the great flood myth wasn't something that our forefathers invented because they had nothing else to talk around the campfire. There seems to have been an ancient civilization that was lost, and there's quite a lot of evidence to suggest that this is something that happens on a cyclical basis. And for example, one of the people who we know love dearly and have spoken to at length about this is Richard Hoagland. And Richard Hoagland is one of the people who I mentioned before doesn't do ETs or UFOs. His answer to the mystery of the ruins on Mars, he said, this is all human stuff. This is extraterrestrial archaeology, but it's human archaeology. We were out there in one of our previous incarnations before we lost everything in some big wipeout, and now we're doing a big rebuild. And for Richard, he doesn't have to explain all this in terms of ETs on Mars. He says, we've colonized the solar system before, and we're going to do it again. The question is, can we get off planet and get things established and get our things safe in the 11,500-year period after the control, out, delete, reset that seems to happen every time? Now, many people will have seen the information presented by Patrick Jarrell, and we interviewed him about his own theoretical calculations, not to be completely dismissed, because he's a smart guy and he's well-meaning, but we and many others think that he's just got it wrong. He says, we're all going to get wiped out. You might just have a few stragglers surviving if you're lucky, and there's nothing we can do about it, so we might as well just give up our jobs and party for the next 3 years because there's no other hope. And it was the first interview that we did where Kerry and I had a serious discussion about whether it was responsible for us to delete it, because our information that we present, as we were talking about before, is intended to give hope. It's intended to empower people with information. And there's a kind of logical dilemma here, because if he's right and it's hopeless, there's no point in releasing the information. If he's wrong and he's just going to depress people, but it doesn't work out that way, there's no point in releasing the information either. So we had a very interesting discussion about all that, and in the end we decided to release it with a big caveat on our video, which is the only time we've ever done that, saying we don't believe this stuff. Interestingly enough, Cliff Hyde from The Half Past Human went on Jeff Renz a couple of weeks ago to support the thesis, and we don't think he's right either. Soon after that, we spoke to Bill Deagle. And Bill Deagle, whatever one might think about him, is an extremely smart character. He's very, very optimistic, and he's got one of these big picture views, like he's looking at the whole planet and the universe through a whole telescope from wherever he is. He seems to be able to stitch it all together in a very remarkable way. And the least that one can say about it is that it's extremely thought-provoking material that he states. He said that according to his calculations, and I believe that he has done them, he says that there is likely to be a trigger effect on the Earth's crust, which is kind of floating around on a sea of liquid magma, rather like the skin on hot milk. And this is what Charles Hapgood in 1958 called crustal displacement.
Right.
If you shake that around a little bit, then the crust moves. The Earth doesn't wobble, but the crust actually moves around on the surface of the Earth. And Deagle suggested, this is the crunch of the question, that there would be crustal displacement, probably not in 2012, but maybe sometime between 2012 and about 2020. And he's not the only insider we've spoken to who suggested that things are going to happen later, and that 2012 is actually a bit of a red herring. Deagle said that the whole thing's going to happen at walking pace. He said that the continents are likely to shift at the rate of about 1.5 miles per hour. And now, that sounds all very sedate. In geological terms, it's still extremely fast, but in day-to-day human terms, that's it's enough so that you're not going to get the kind of tidal waves sloshing over the Himalayas like you saw in the movie 2012 that was just a ridiculous special
effect.
There's nothing like that is ever going to happen.
So which one of your guys was it that said it's going to be gentler, shall we say?
That's right. He said that over something like a 1 or 2 month period, you could have the continents moving about 1,000 miles in a bit of a twist. He said that that North America is basically going to be moving south. It's like you take the standard map of the world and you give it a little bit of a twist anti-clockwise, counterclockwise, so that the South Pole would end up moving sort of towards where Australia is. Europe is going to move to the northeast. Of course, things like the Gulf Stream will get all messed up pretty seriously. And there would be enormous effects on the coastlines, on the world's weather. He said that Japan is likely to disappear. Very, very interesting. I mean, this is no fun for the Japanese, and I shouldn't make light out of it. But basically, he said there isn't going to be a big tip of the soup bowl in the restaurant like you kind of get in the 2012 movie. It's not going to be a cataclysmic pole shift like that. He said there's going to be a readjustment. And he reckons that this is the kind of thing that has periodically happened about every 11,500 years. And he says, of course, connecting the dots in a way that will be familiar to many of your listeners, that this has been known and understood by the powers that be ever since soon after the Second World War. And this is the reason why they spent trillions of dollars building underground bases. He says they're building a new underground city. He says they're building two new underground cities every 11 days at the moment. That's quite some construction project. And then, of course, we think, well, what's happened to all the money? This is where it's going. Oops, you can't have the whole world going bankrupt. They're spending it on something. We're just not allowed to see the accounting.
That's right. I was in one of those underground installations. And you don't know you're underground. That's what it is. You have no idea you're underground.
Apparently these places are pretty luxurious. They're set up so they've got shopping malls, they've got movie theatres, they've got the artificial lighting to make you feel like you're in a big, you know, some big kind of virtual reality pleasure dome. This is designed so that people, their families and children can be brought up and can survive comfortably for quite a long period of time.
And here we go to our bottom of the hour break. And I'll just tell you about one of the ones that seriously had a Trump Tower-type building in it for actresses who literally controlled the, you know, the slaves. Anyway, we are talking with Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy of Project Camelot. This is Rumor Mill News Radio on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network, and we will be right back.
Hey, Dad.
Oh, son, what's going on?
Well, I just got my shipment of freeze-dried food from the freeze-dry guy. I was laying away our family supplies here.
Dad, you're not planning to have an emergency, are you?
You don't plan to have them. They happen on their own. You plan a response.
Like what? What could go wrong?
Well, imagine you go to the grocery store and it's empty.
Dad, that's paranoid.
That's possible.
It's paranoid.
It's not paranoid to prepare. It's perfectly prudent.
Okay, Pops, I get your point.
Keep it.
But, Dad, what if we never need it? Won't it go bad?
Oh, no, son. You'll have babies of your own, and this stuff will still be as good as it is today. And it's good, too. Believe me, I've had some.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Dad, maybe we could have a practice emergency.
Test the food out, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope we don't have a real emergency, son. But if we do, I intend to survive. And I intend for you to survive, too.
Thanks, Dad.
I better get the rest of this put away.
Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguide.com.
What if there was a technology that could assist you in breaking a lifetime of bad habits? Condense 10 years of spiritual growth into a few months rather than years. Would you do it? Would you feel like you are cheating? Change does not have to be difficult. The bioresonance technology is 20 years in the making, a culmination of Bill Kirkland's spiritual quest. Bill has created an electronic aid for mankind to make the next great leap to full consciousness. How? The bioresonance machine removes fear of negativity based on the United Field Theories of Burkhard Helm. Metron Calculus opens up access to the fifth and sixth dimension for health and personal power. Break through those glass ceilings and become a man of the ages with unlimited energy and spiritual power. Go to AscensionEnergyProgram.com to find out more information or to sign up for your $35 trial month. Go to AscensionEnergyProgram.com right now or call 307-200-4503.
A question for you. Do you know what is in the air you're breathing? Do you know what chemicals are placed in the water you drink? Would you like to combat these intrusions? I'm not just talking toxins. I'm talking about chemicals that are harmful. Maybe now you understand why you feel tired so much. Change your life with Life Change Tea. Cleanse from toxins and chemicals and lose weight. Receive energy. There is no better investment than your body. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Friendly operators will take your order and answer your questions. Be set free and live better. GetTheTea.com.
The Micro Effect. The Micro Effect Broadcasting Network.
And welcome back. This is Raylan, and we're talking with Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy of ProjectCamelot.org. And we've been talking about all sorts of things. Right now we're talking about the great shift that certain people have seen. Was there anything more that they had to say about the great shift? And are you getting your information from just one person or from many different people or what?
Let me just add one more thing to that, and then maybe Carrie can give her own perspective.
Okay.
We're not convinced at all, as you could hear from my comments about the dreadful 2012 movie, that's the kind of thing that might befall us. We talked to another deep insider who we respect greatly, who told us, quote, that there is a wave coming. And he meant that metaphorically. And he said that he didn't know when it was coming, but it was probably, in his words, something like 2017. And he said, nobody really knows when it's going to arrive, and nobody really knows what's going to happen when it does. He said, it could be a wipeout, or it could be a puff of wind. He said, nobody really knows. And he was kind of very laconic about the whole thing. And that was another perspective, because it helped us to understand that it's possible that the powers that be don't actually know what's going to happen. They may be frightened. What they're doing, what they're building, what they're preparing for might just be an insurance policy, because, of course, these characters know the hidden history of the human race. They have a lot of records that we've been told were all lost in the fire at the Great Library of Alexandria. We've spoken to somebody who's been in the Vatican Library and has described to us that it looks pretty much like it was presented in the Angels and Demons movie. It's an enormous high-tech archive of ancient documents that are supposed not to exist. And a lot of that data contains information about previous civilizations. And so nobody, it's possible that nobody really knows what's going to happen, but they're preparing for something. And it might just be an insurance policy, a very expensive insurance policy. It's bankrupted the planet and they're spending $12 trillion on underground bases and secret space program, because maybe that's where the money's gone. But perhaps nothing will happen after all. Kerry, what's your view on this? Let's do a double act here.
Well, actually, I mean, I think there's no doubt whatsoever that something will happen. Now, what and to what degree? I think it's more a question of to what degree. I think, as you can see, and as everyone can see, we are having Earth changes. In fact, we are moving into the center of the galactic core and aligned with it. And we are also, we did an interview with Paul LaViolette, who is a scientist and talks about a super wave. He also does not commit himself to when the super wave may come, only that it definitely will, and that it emanates from within the galactic center. This wave is, again, that was his terminology, and our other whistleblower who used the term wave was, in my opinion, not only speaking metaphorically, but also because that's kind of what it's become known as. It's also called an area of energetic space that we are entering and that we have been in now for a few years. But we are getting, as astrology will tell you, the alignments of the planet will emphasize this area of space we're moving into. And thereby the changes that are going to affect the Earth and the rest of the solar system, by the way, and is affecting the rest of the solar system. And for that, you can go to the work of David Wilcock and also to Richard Hoagland. David Wilcock specifically talks about the heating up of the planets and the changes on the various planets. They're becoming brighter, warmer, and so on. And that's not the result of, quote-unquote, global climate change or warming on just the Earth. So there is definitely something going on, and I think that there's absolutely no doubt of that. There is indication, and we have gotten testimony to this effect, that there are many, many ET races visiting us at this time, specifically because of the drama that is taking place now and going to be going on from now through 2012 and probably until around 2017. For some reason, that does seem to be a cutoff date. And I believe that again, in that case, you can point to the work of Anna Hayes or Ashayana Dean, who is someone we are going to be interviewing in the near future. I've secured an interview with her, and she's located in Florida. She wrote a series of books called The Voyager Series. And she's also got several videos that are on the internet, on YouTube, that explain her point of view of the information she has gotten. You could call it channeled information, in regard to an opening of a gate, or a series of gates in which the Earth and humanity has a chance to move into a completely different level or dimension, however you want to term it. So all of this wraps into the Earth changes, as you probably know, and can't be discounted. And so it's very complex. And again, this gets into the area of time travel and really who we are as beings, mm-hmm. because this is a multidimensional universe, a holograph, and we are multidimensional beings. So we exist not just here in this plane, but in many other dimensions simultaneously.
You know, when I was in Vienna in 94, I was taken over to that little island that is between the Danube and the Danube Canal. OPEC has a building there. I know you're familiar with Vienna, that's why I'm telling you about it. And we went to meet an architect. I was with my husband and this Templar that was my teacher. And on a huge table, they laid out plans for the elevator to the stars. Now, you and I probably know that the elevator to the stars can only be at the equator. Well, evidently Vienna is going to be at the equator. And of course they have said that not much of Europe is going to be left at that time. I was shown the map. But they told me that they didn't have the material ready yet to build the elevator. But just a few months ago I read that NASA had finished it. And the elevator is to be built. Now, the thing that is very, very interesting is what they told me is the elevator goes up to a space station, and I imagine that that space station up there is probably the beginning of it. So the elevator goes up to the space station, and then tied into the space station are, guess what? Gates. And if you are of, I don't know how they decide this, but if you are of the proper spiritual advancement, I mean, you've got to have a vibration in your body that allows you to go through these gates, or you don't make it, you die. But there will be certain of us that will have access to the stars again. And interestingly enough, the other thing that he told us, that many people are not advanced enough to be able to come into the inner cities and use these gates. And so around about upon the earth, you are going to see different time zones of civilization. And many times the people themselves say, oh, my God, I'm not comfortable here. Send me back to the 1800s. Or, gosh, I'm not even comfortable in the 1800s. Send me back to the Dark Ages or to Rome, you know, or to Atlantis or whatever. And so that was what I was told in 94. And I do know that the Austrians know that something major is coming, because as of 94, they had enough secure underground installations that were hardened. Even one of our bunker bombs couldn't get through to them. And by the way, they have a library in Linz. I don't know if everybody knows about it. It might be top secret, but it's a library in Linz that goes down at least 90 stories, and it's shaped round. It's round so that if Earth gets blown apart, guess what survives? All the knowledge that we accumulated on planet Earth. And it'll go out there, you know, like this huge, big barrel rolling out in space until somebody finds it. So that's what the Austrians are up
wow.
to.
Well, that's some very interesting information. I have to say that it does parallel the work of Anna Hayes and what she's talking about. And there is that's a very interesting aspect of it. I'd love to hear more about that.
One other thing, I want to bring in this solar wind or whatever this wind is. That's going to sweep across. It was either David Wilcock or Richard Hoagland. I think it was Richard that said that it hit Mars first, and it swept Mars dirt, Mars people, Mars, you know, dead Mars people, to the Earth. But what Mars had created is they had created time gates. And so they actually, even though this was about 13,000 or 13 million years ago that this happened, I don't remember the numbers, they were able to transport themselves up into Egypt maybe 13,000 years ago. And so Richard is correct when he says we are Martians. Many of us are Martians. And Mars most definitely did have a... I've been to Mars. I am one of those people that has walked on Mars, and if I had not awakened with red dirt on my feet and all over my sheets, I would have thought that it was a dream. But I was taken to Mars by my husband's boss, an admiral, who turns out to be the son of Admiral Wilhelm Canaris of the German Abwehr, who was also the head of the Knights Templars, and in my opinion still is. He'd be about 115, but these guys live forever, you know.
That's incredible. that's really incredible that you yourself have been to Mars. So you certainly could relate to our Henry Deacon, although you didn't. You said you haven't read any of our written interviews.
No, I haven't read the written interviews.
Henry Deacon is not his real name, actually. He subsequently came up out under his real name, which is Arthur Neumann. And he worked in black projects for most of his life, actually. And our interviews with him have all been in writing because up to a certain point, actually this summer, he was basically under an assumed name, which we gave him, which was Henry Deacon, and he wouldn't go on camera. He has subsequently gone on camera with us. And in fact, we went on stage in Barcelona during the Exopolitics conference, and it became quite a notorious event, in which he stated to the audience, right after, at the tail end of Bob Dean addressing the audience and completing his presentation, I went on stage with Henry Deacon, and he announced to the world that he had been to Mars. And he had told us numerous times that he had been working there on a regular basis.
That's correct. No.
And on top of that, I have to say that also when you said that a lot of us are from Mars, Bariska, I don't know if you're familiar with the Indigo Child Bariska.
I've heard of Russia.
We interviewed him as well. And if you haven't seen the video or the listeners haven't, I do encourage you to watch it. He was a young boy who became quite well known because he had total recall of his prior life on Mars at the young age of, I think, around 7 or even younger. And he would tell his mother about this and tell his mother about the wars that took place on Mars and their efforts to make Jupiter into a second sun and so on. So that is also a fascinating study.
Yes, I have heard all of that before, but not from Bariska, from my husband and from his boss. And you see, my trip to Mars was in 1986, and that was before, I mean, I knew the Admiral, but that was before I knew that my husband worked for this Admiral, and, well, that was before a lot of things, let's put it that way. But I was taken up there for a reason that I don't know. Most of the women, there were 12 of us, 12 women and the Admiral that went in this round space-time machine because we went through time with it. I ended up in Egypt 50,000 years ago, and the culture, the buildings, the brightness, the beauty, I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay there the rest of my life. They gave me a fruit that tasted like a combination between a persimmon and a very ripe persimmon, one of the old-fashioned kind, and a very ripe apricot. And, you know, people didn't even wear shoes there because the surfaces of the roads was paved with a growing grass that was as soft as moss to walk on. So nobody needed shoes, nobody really needed clothes, but they wore clothes. And those are our ancestors. Those people are the people that brought our civilization here. But I also feel, that's just one part, I also feel there's a lot of other aliens here on Earth. And I personally feel that the people behind the Federal Reserve and the City of London, I think the super secret people who pull the strings, they've got to be aliens. And I think they're probably still in their alien bodies, so we don't even know who they are.
Yes, and absolutely. Well, and this gets back to the information that Jordan Maxwell was talking about. He talks about tracing the information through the symbolism that they put out there, actually, as well as to his... He knew Zachariah Sitchin, or knows Zachariah personally, and knows some things about Zachariah's information that I'm not at liberty to release, but that I've been told, which most of the world would be quite surprised to hear, I have to say. But the indication is that there are ETs currently on the Earth, and apparently also returning at this time for some purpose. And that purpose, at least in Jordan's mind, is quite diabolical.
I don't believe that it is. It's graduation time. And the ETs that are returning for their brothers and sisters who were the first, what, the first ground crew down here, let's put it that way. And from what I have been told, Earth will be changed because the school that we have been, this is the way it was explained to me, the school that we've been, let's just say that we were a medical school, and we've graduated all the doctors we will ever need for all eternity. And so now we're going to make a school that turns out agrarians or something. And so the earth will be changed, and naturally it has to be changed. And a lot of the people who are graduating will be leaving. That's what a lot of these Stargates, they may be leaving in their real bodies. In other words, they may not have to die to leave. But I think it's an exciting time that we're coming to.
I have to agree with that. I think that there will be a positive and a negative side to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't deny that. But I certainly think that we are in probably one of the most exciting times to be alive on the planet. And I do think that this juncture is not just a repeat of the past. I do believe that we are at a different juncture than we've ever been in as humanity and on the earth, and that we are about to take part in something that is extraordinary. How it will play out is just going to be a very complex situation, and I think that at the moment we're still gathering information about that.
Well, one of the things that I was told, remember I was married to this nuclear physicist who used to fly into China Lake, and, I never have figured out what he did there. Do you guys know anything about the experimentations that go on at China Lake?
We've heard quite a bit about China Lake. It's a super secret establishment, and they do a lot of very advanced research there, that's for sure. It's meant to be a weapons testing area, but it's a lot more than that. Tell us what you know.
Well, I've even heard that some of the graves are at China Lake. And the one thing that I know is every time my husband came back from this meeting, his hands would be shaking and he couldn't get to a bottle of vodka fast enough. But what I was going to tell you is he also said that the earth changes its axis every so many years, and sometimes it's rapid. When it's rapid, a lot of the earth goes underground. But he said from what the science shows, the last few times has been very slow. I'm sure he told me maybe over 100 years. And it just very slowly, the poles keep shifting. And quite frankly, I don't think our government would tell us if the poles were shifting. You know, maybe people could find out. I actually used to have a compass set in my house on, north. And I don't know what happened to it. It disappeared. But I would check it about every 6 months to make sure that we hadn't changed. Because nobody's going to tell us this.
Yeah, that's quite possible. I from what I understand, there has been a shift already. I don't know who it was. It might be Sean David Morton. But in essence, there has already been a shift that we are not, the due north is moved. Bill, isn't that correct?
It's a complicated topic. The Earth's magnetic pole is gradually moving. That's very well known. As a mountaineer, I was always consulting outdoor topographical maps, and there's always a note on the bottom of these topographical maps that if you're setting your compass, and you have to know the difference between true north and magnetic north, but you've got to make an allowance because magnetic north moves by about 1 degree every so many years and so on and so forth. And if it's an old map, and you need to be exactly accurate in your navigation, you need to take this into account. So that's old news. On the other hand, there is at least one fairly prominent website out there that is trying to maintain that a pole shift of about 20 degrees has already occurred, and that has to be nonsense.
Okay, so let's come right back to that 20-degree pole shift on the other side of this break. It's the top of the hour break, so we'll be gone just a little bit longer. We're talking with Bill Ryan and Carrie. Oh, my God, Carrie, I can't believe that your name has slipped my brain for this one.
Cassidy.
I knew it was just about to come there, and I don't understand why. I cannot remember the name Cassidy. Hopalong was one of my favorite people. And they are from from Project Camelot, and we will be right back on the Micro Effect Radio Broadcast Network.
The Micro Effect. The Micro Effect Broadcasting Network.
What if there was a technology that could assist you in breaking a lifetime of bad habits? Condense 10 years of spiritual growth into a few months rather than years. Would you do it? Would you feel like you are cheating? Change does not have to be difficult. The bioresonance technology is 20 years in the making, a culmination of Bill Kirkland's spiritual quest. Bill has created an electronic aid for mankind to make the next great leap to full consciousness. How? The bioresonance machine removes fear of negativity based on the United Field theories of Burkhard Helm. Metron Calculus opens up access to the fifth and sixth dimension for health and personal power. Break through those glass ceilings and become a man of the ages with unlimited energy and spiritual power. Go to AscensionEnergyProgram.com to find out more information or to sign up for your $35 trial month. Go to AscensionEnergyProgram.com right now or call 307-200-4503.
They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, naturally. And the world heareth them because it recognizes its own language. But we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us.
These are the words of 20th century prophet A.W. Tozer. He is the author of over 40 books that you aren't likely to find at your local Christian bookseller. So where can you go to find such inspiration? Introducing Cornerstone Books, with the largest selection available of the writings of A.W. Tozer, Amy Carmichael, Richard Wurmbrand, and countless others. Cornerstone Books makes the truth available worldwide with the detail and personality of a local bookseller. Visit the website at www.cornerstone-unlimited.com for a complete inventory of its authors, as well as audio files and much, much more. That's www.cornerstone-unlimited.com, or you can call toll free at 888-239-9890. That's 888-239-9890.
Hi, Dad.
Oh, son, what's going on? Oh, just got my shipment of freeze-dried food from the freeze-dry guy. I was laying away our family supplies here.
Dad, you're not planning to have an emergency, are you?
You don't plan to have them. They happen on their own. You plan a response.
Like what? What could go wrong?
Well, imagine you go to the grocery store and it's empty.
Dad, that's paranoid.
That's possible.
It's paranoid.
It's not paranoid to prepare. It's perfectly prudent.
Okay, Pops, I get your point.
Keep it.
But, Dad, what if we never need it? Won't it go bad?
Oh, no, son. You'll have babies of your own, and this stuff will still be as good as it is today. And it's good, too. Believe me, I've had some.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Dad, maybe we could have a practice emergency.
Test the food out, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope we don't have a real emergency, son. But if we do, I intend to survive. And I intend for you to survive, too.
Thanks, Dad.
I better get the rest of this put away.
Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguide.com.